I'm going to start out this morning with a review and a reminder. We started out the beginning of this year, and we're actually running up on closing out the quarter the end of this month, which is an amazing fact that it goes by that fast. But we started out the year looking at what we believe as United Brethren, and point by point going through our doctrinal statement. Then we spent some time looking at membership in our church, which we had 9 new people become members of our church, and 7 of them want to be baptized in the near future, which is a really cool deal. Then we spent some time looking at what we valued in as a church, and you know, we valued the Bible, and we value worship, and we value evangelism and prayer and our relationship with God. And we took some time and looked at a vision statement that we'd really like God to transform our lives. And a mission statement. And so we looked at some of those things. And now what we're going to do is, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to do 2 messages entitled Give It Up. And then we're going to conclude the month and conclude the quarter with an update on what's going on with our missions and how we're doing in our budget. And then I'm going to start a series in May, June, and July that's entitled Can You See Him? And what we're going to do is we're going to take the book of James, start at the beginning, and walk through the whole book in 3 months. And James, Jesus' little brother, has some very practical how-tos of living the Christian life. And so I want you to be pumped and excited about spending that much time looking at the Bible and how we can do that. I'm going to start changing kind of the emphasis of our website and put some of these series graphics and titles on there. And I'm going to ask you to invite some of your friends to come for some of these different things. So this morning is April 11th of 2010, and this is the first of 2 messages entitled Give It Up. So it's Give It Up 1, and we're going to talk about first things first. So when we do that, when you hear me say give it up, what do you think? What's the first thing you think of?
Sacrifice.
Could that be looking at 2 different ways? Could that be looked at in 2 different ways? You'll notice on my graphic that the U has a little distinctiveness to it. What is it? It's an arrow pointing up. And the practical reality is you can pay it forward. You can give it ahead if you're willing. So, a lot of times when preachers talk about finances and tithing and giving, oh boy, you know, they're just out after my money, you know. And speaking of money, I really need $100. Anybody got a $100 bill in church? Clarence, you're not moving. Oh, you do? Oh, awesome. Thanks. Haven't even started. I'm $100 ahead. Who would have thought it would have worked, huh? Man, Franklin's one of my friends. So, that's it. That's what preachers want to do. They just all out after your money, right? Not really. When I say first things first, what do you think of? Is there really a system where in your life you put first things first? Some of us took a shower or a bath this morning, and some of us didn't. So if you didn't, then just think back to the last one you did. But when you get out of the shower or the tub, are you a dry-off guy or are you a drip-dry girl? A drip-dry? Some of us are toweling people. I actually know people who get out, wrap their head in a towel, put on a robe, and just trot off in an hour or so later, they're done. You know, but then is, after you get dry, is one of the first things you do put on deodorant? Or are you one of those people get all the way dressed and then you go through the armhole or up the... Which way do you do it?
Before I get dressed.
Yeah, before you get dressed. You know, I heard my daughter yell at the grandkids, put on your shoes and socks. But is that really how it works? So, Are you one of those people like me that you put your socks on before you put on your slacks? Or do you put your slacks on and then put your socks on? Are you a sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Or are you a sock, shoe? Sock, shoe? Now, so what I'm trying to say is there are things in your life that you do first things first. You know? You shower before you put on the clean clothes. I mean, it's first things first. And you put on your socks before you put on your shoes, normally. Some people don't put on socks and save one step. The other night we had movie and popcorn night, and we watched The Blind Side, which was pretty good. Yeah, I recommend it. It was a good flick. But we had a movie and popcorn. Is that really the way it works? You watch the movie and then you have popcorn? Now, I like to eat popcorn with the movie, but the fact of the matter is, I just like to eat the butter and the salt. So I like it so much that you put the butter and the salt in the bowl and then make the popcorn. Is that how it goes? No, there's a first things first deal in it. You make the popcorn, then you put a heavy coat of butter on it, and then you salt it, and the salt sticks to the butter. I mean, there is a first things first pattern, isn't there? And I could go to a lot of other venues in our life that there are things, bless you, that you do first, and then you do other things. Can you agree with me that there are things like that? But oftentimes, we don't take the time to look at the things that God says first things first. Here's my purpose statement, my summary statement for the series. God gave His best for us when He sent Jesus. God desires that we give our best to Him. You're going to give your life and resources to something. Give them to something that lasts. God wants you to give it up. So the second sentence says, God what? God desires. Okay? Can you say that with me? God desires. Yeah. That's our responsive reading for this morning. God desires. Now, He doesn't dictate. He doesn't control. He doesn't overpower you. He desires the best for your life. But He's such a gentleman that He won't force you to do anything. But that is His deep desire, that you would understand His ways, live in a pattern that He's set forth, and your life would be blessed. But you don't have to. But that's what He desires. So, here's Matthew 6:33. And it says, but seek what?
First.
Say it again. Seek
first.
His what?
Kingdom.
His kingdom. And what else? His righteousness. Now, if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then some of the other things that you need in life will be given as well. Right? All the other stuff will be given to you if you get things first things first. There is a pattern. If you do the first things first, all the rest of the things come together in a unique and wonderful, beautiful way. Now, as you were reading the New Testament with me just Friday night, you read Luke chapter 12. Was that similar to Matthew chapter 6? Yeah, it was. Grab a Bible and just look with me for a minute at... Oh, I got to show you my Easter gift. Now tell me this thing isn't cool. How cool is that? It's supposed to fit down in the spine of your Bible, and then you have all these colorful deals. They have those over at the other church, and I got one of those for an Easter present. Woohoo! See, I got $100 here and a floppy doppy deal there. So, when you look at Luke chapter 12, Jesus is speaking and He's talking to His disciples. And look with me at verse 27. Verse 27 of Luke 12. Consider how the lilies grow, period. Now, can anybody see any illustrations of lilies? Anybody see lilies in our church anywhere? Yeah, Clarence bought two, Deb bought two, we have four Easter lilies in front of us. Now, do they look good? Do they look like they're straining and struggling to build their 401k? Are they worried about Social Security? Do they just look like they're enjoying life and having a good time? Don't they look like they're having a good time back there? They really are having a good time. They're doing what they were designed to do. They're blooming at Easter time. Now continue on with me in verse 27. They don't labor, they don't spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field that's here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O little faith, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you eat, drink, do not worry about it. For the pagans run after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Look at verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well. What's Jesus telling us? He's talking about money. And he's talking about you and I having a relationship with income and wealth, that we create a structure that is in harmony with God's, and God blesses our lives because of it. Now, on the back of your bulletin, I put an outline, and the graphic design lady that lives at my house, Debbie, when she saw my front cover and the color scheme on the back, she says, "Ooh, I like that." So I got brownie points for my artistic work. Jan can paint, and I try to run a computer, but it's my artistic outlet. Now, here's another scripture verse that comes from Haggai 1, verse 6. And it says this, "You've planted much, but you've harvested little." Can you say that with me? You planted much, but you've
harvested little.
You eat, but
never have
enough. You earn wages, but you put them into a purse that has holes in it. It's got holes in it. Now, we live in a culture, and there are members of our congregation who are making more money this year than they've ever made before, but have less to show for it. We live in a culture where obesity is a major medical health issue. And it's not just the old people, it's the young people. They eat, and they never seem to have enough. Who knows what the average American's unassetted credit card debt is? Ooh, that was tough to get that one out. How many thousands of dollars is the average person in debt? Yeah, it's just above 17,000. The average American has $17,000 on a credit card that they're just paying the minimums on and trying to pay it off and falling deeper into debt. Now then, who knows who the largest borrower on the planet is? Who borrows more money on the planet than anybody else? The United States government is the biggest borrower on the planet. 40%+ of your tax revenues goes to pay the interest on our loans. We live in a financial disaster as a culture. Now, in the midst of that, is there a biblical pattern where you and I can live a blessed life? Yeah, there is. And all it really requires is you to fulfill your Father's deepest desire. Now, the first on your outline. The firstborn belongs to the mother, right? No, I'm sorry. The firstborn belongs to the father. The parents? The firstborn belongs to God. Now, It says in Exodus 13:2, consecrate to me every what? Firstborn male. So you girls are off the hook. The what? The first offspring of every womb belongs to me, God says. The firstborn male of every animal, every critter, every human belongs to me. Now, as you're reading the Old Testament passage with me Friday morning, Friday happened to be one of those days when I was reading the Bible, and I said, oh, this makes sense. There was a story of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And what was that story about? Hannah was married to a nice guy, and he had another wife who had a lot of kids and was always provoking, giving her a hard time. He was a good, godly guy. And Hannah prayed diligently that God would bless her and give her a child. And then what did she do with the child that she got? She gave him back to the Lord. So which son was Samuel? The first one. And I sit there and shook my head and I thought, well, you know, you could probably stretch weaning him out for maybe 4 years. By then they get teeth and it's a little uncomfortable to do that. But you probably maybe stretch it out for 4 years. And then you take your son at four to the temple and give him to Eli. And I thought, that's really devotion to God. Well, then God blessed her, and she had several other boys and girls later. But she gave the firstborn to God. So, in Exodus 13:11-13, there's quite a bit of information about redeeming. And one of the good stories in there is that when you have a donkey, and the firstborn male is born of that donkey, then you have two choices. You can either sacrifice an innocent lamb on behalf of the donkey, or you can break the donkey's neck. Those are your two choices. And I don't often enjoy the King James, but when the King James says, you know, your ass, I always liked that when I was a kid in the Lutheran church. We always wanted to volunteer to read those when you got to read that part of the passage, and you can guess why. But you know, that firstborn ass either had its neck broke or it was redeemed by the blood of a lamb. And when you look at your life and my life, there's a unique thing to understand about this redeemed of the firstborn. There's also information in Exodus about the Passover. And Passover was just the 30th of last month, and some celebrated Passover and some didn't. But Passover is a really cool story. And in the Old Testament, in Exodus, the children of Israel are in Egypt, and the last of 10 plagues takes place, and it is the death of the firstborn of everything in the land. And the only way to not have your firstborn killed by the angel of death was to take the blood of an innocent lamb and paint it up the sides and over the top and down the sides of the doorpost. You dumped a hyssop sponge into this bucket of blood and you painted it on your doorpost. Now, when you're standing there and you're painting on the doorpost, I don't know how many of you paint like me, but there's probably drips and runs. Wouldn't you figure a hyssop brush, it probably drips and runs. Probably. And that drips and falls. And there's an amazing visual picture of what we celebrated on Good Friday, that the blood dripping from that cross is the same picture. Jesus Christ offered his life on our behalf. So, as we move along, the first tenth belongs to God. Okay? The first tenth, the tithe, belongs to God. Here's the Leviticus 27:30 Bible verse, and it says, the what? A tithe, a tenth of everything from the land, whether grain, soil, fruit, from the trees. It does what? Belongs to the Lord. It's what?
Holy.
It's holy to the Lord. The first tenth of everything belongs to the Lord. Now, it's not just your income, but it's what grows in your yard. I'm really looking forward to getting my garden in. If the people at the shop get my pole starter for my rotor tiller fixed, I'll guarantee you the day I get the parts, I'm putting fuel in that sucker, and as she starts, the Hogatilla and I are getting out in the garden and working. Right? Jules has been nurturing plants, and she was smoothing plants yesterday, figuring out which one she's going to get. Now then, how many of you have been at church, and I had these big baskets of tomatoes, and I said, if you don't like what I'm saying, bring the tomatoes into the church and throw them at me. Right? And sometimes there's honking big zucchinis in there, and there's hot peppers and green peppers, and then in the fall, how many of you took apples home for apple pies, right? Now, why in the world does a preacher boy go through all that effort of dragging all that junk into church? Yeah, you guys get the best. Pick the best ones, the first ones that come in. Now, I bring you a lot of the cherry tomatoes, but quite honestly, I eat a lot of them while I'm picking them. But you'll see those big containers of cherry tomatoes in the summer, and I'll encourage Denise to take them all home when we're done with fellowship time. But the pattern of life is that the first of everything, you give it a tenth unto the Lord. Now then, you can't give what you don't own is the next. If you're taking notes, that's the second thing under the first belong. You can't give what you don't own. Second point, tithing isn't really giving, it's returning. Now then, how many of you were impressed that Don had $100 in his pocket? Any of you? Denise? Denise was impressed that he had $100 in his pocket. Now, there'll be another wife, face so changed when I tell you, this is my $100. Now, Julie's going the same thing. Where'd you get a $100 bill? Right? I asked Don to hold that for me before church, and I said, when I asked congregation for $100, $100 bill, will you give it back? And he says, well, I thought it was a 50-50 chance. Then the funny thing is, I was in the bathroom and I was trying to hide my microphone cord and I couldn't remember who I gave it to. So if he didn't give it back to me, I would just be lost. Now, here's the point of the story. Do you think it was hard for Don to give me my $100 back? No. It wasn't a struggle at all because it really wasn't his. You know? He just got to hang on to it for a few minutes. And probably felt pretty good to have $100 in your pocket. Right? And to answer Julie's question, because you won't hear anything in the rest of the sermon unless I tell you this story, I have this travel belt that has, I mean, it looks just like a normal belt, but it has a zipper in it, and you can put money in there. And I put several $100 in that when I went to the Caribbean, because it's a really safe way to transport money. And it's when you travel internationally, having cash is a necessity, but having it in a way that they can't pick your pocket or take it away from you. Now, one of the interesting things, I've put this zippered belt into several of those x-ray things where they make you take your belt off and put it in the thing before you get on the airplane, and they've never noticed it. Terrorists could hide something in there. They wouldn't even notice that it was in there. Now, one funny story, first things first. We were in the Caribbean and we were flying home, and they made us check out of our hotel rooms long before we needed to take the shuttle to the airport. So we decided that what we would do is we would put a change of clean clothes into a bag and pack all the rest of our clothes into these big suitcases and stash them away. Then we'd play in the ocean, and then we'd all jump into the pool and rinse off, And they had a waterfall, and we all rinse off, then we dry off, go into the men's room or the ladies' room, and we get dressed to fly home in clothes. We wouldn't wear our wet swimming suits on the way home. Well, I got into the men's room, and I forgot to put underwear in my bag. Yeah. Jules didn't know this story either. So there I am, and I'm forced to make a real critical decision. I could fly home commando, right? But the problem is when you don't have any butt, when you take your belt off for those security things, your pants doesn't always stay up so swell. And your underwear showing is quite popular, and they just think, oh, another old gangbanger. But plumbers, you know, it's not cool. And I didn't want everybody to know that I forgot that. So we're all there at this big bus, and we're throwing all our bags in. And I have this great big bag because my scuba swim fins are 30-plus inches long. So I have this great big sea bag. You remember those big bags, Clarence? You got your Marine's pin on, and you put everything you own into this big sea bag. And in the bottom of there, I got clean underwear. So as everybody's throwing their bags in, I'm rooting around and I'm trying to, in this public place, trying to find a clean pair of underwear and quick slip them into my pocket. So when I get to the airport, I can go into the bathroom because I didn't want to fly home commando. But first things first, I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know how I got off on that story. Sorry, Lord. But the point of we're trying to make here is that everything belongs to God. So tithing is not really given, it's just returning. And he's so generous, he says, okay, how about this deal? How about a 90-10 split? What do you think? I'll give you 90% and I'll take only 10. What a sweet deal. You know? What if Don said, yeah, I'll hold your 100 bucks, but just give me 10 for cover charge. You know? It's not giving. It's just returning because all of it belongs to God. Now, this one you may not like. Keeping what belongs to God is... it's stealing. Here's what it says in Malachi 3, 8, and 9. Will a man... what? Rob God? But you ask, how am I robbing you? In what? Tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Have you ever stopped to think there's approximately 2 million people in the United States of America who claim to be born-again Christians? If they gave a tenth of all that their income, the first tenth of all of their income to the church, we wouldn't need a health care revision. We wouldn't need welfare. We'd have so much money in the storehouse of God that God's kingdom church could take care of. But the problem is people steal from God. They rob it. And so our whole nation is under a curse because we're robbing God. And he's not asking you to give it all back. He's really saying it's a 90-10 split. And I think it's a good deal for you. I'll give it all to you. I'll trust all of you with it. And I'll just trust you to give it back like I trusted Don to give back my $100. So here's the first test. The first test on your outline. And here again, we're in Malachi. Bring in the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, what does this say? Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you'll... what? You'll not have enough room for it. Now, wouldn't it be a sweet deal If tonight when we got together at board meeting, if Lori says, I got so much money, I don't know where to put it all. What are we going to do with all of this? Right? Now, this is a unique scripture. There's lots of places where it says, don't test God. But in this one thing, God says, go ahead and test me. And why does he do it with money? Because it is something that you can actually see. The numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. Now, I got the graphic for this from Craig's website of lifechurch.tv. That his graphic design people did this for me. And it's a message that he did some time ago. But I love the graphic so much that he lets me have them, so I use them. And he has a unique deal that they do at lifechurch.tv. That you can go to their website and print out a contract. And you and your wife can sign it. And it's a 3-month test. And what they ask you to do is do what the Bible says. Now, I'm in kind of a unique situation because I'm self-employed. I'm not employed by the church. I'm self-employed. So it's really easy for me when Lori writes me a check for the month and she gives it directly to Julie, and Julie lets me have it long enough to sign the back of it. But just for illustration purposes, let's just say it's an even $3,000 in the check. The first thing that Jules does is write a check for $300. Then I take off the money that I pay into taxes, which I pay about $8,000 a year into taxes, and I have to skim some of that off every month so that when it comes to the quarter that I have the $2,000 to reluctantly send into the government, because I don't think they're very good stewards of it, but I do what I'm told to do. And then after I put off some money for some taxes, then we pay, you know, put off the money for our property taxes, because Unit 5 gets a lot of money here, so you got to set that money aside. And then you got to pay the bills, right? And then, but the first thing I do is tithe 10% of the gross income. So when you're looking at not robbing God, it's all that money you make before they take out your Social Security, your FICA, your federal, you know, there's all those other things that if you work for somebody, they do that for you. So you have to look at the gross. And the first thing you do, first things first, is you look at that number, and it's real simple. It's like being at the restaurant. You know, if it costs you $100 for dinner, then you should give the girl that waited on you $20. You know, if you had a $200 dinner, you should give her $40 at least. You know, because that's how they make their living. The same way in here. God says test. So Craig has this thing on there. For 3 months, if you'll not rob God, if everything you get you'll tithe of and you'll keep track of it, if at the end of 3 months you don't find your life blessed, you just call the church, tell the church secretary, and we'll cut you a check for every penny that you gave us back. We'll give it all back to you. Now, several years ago, Julie and I took the test. And we were so convinced that it works that we've never had to test God again. We just do it. But test God and see. Take 3 months. Give him 10% of everything off the top. Everything you get. Don't snitch on the garden. Don't snitch on the gifts. Don't snitch on everything you get. You know, Debbie likes living with us because when I get a cash gift from somebody, then I got to look for some place. And I got to do it fast before I forget and spend it. So oftentimes I'll just give her money and she says, oh, you got a gift. Yeah. Yeah. And you're here, you know. So we believe, Julie and I believe, that your first 10% should go into the storehouse of the local church. That's what you should do with it. Now, if you want to give over and above that, that's great. I mean, we give to Victorious Christian Living, we give to Wycliffe Translators, we give to other stuff, but that's all over and above what you guys give us here as a check. Actually, most of that we take out of the giving that comes to us at Victorious Christian Living. But we give to other things as well as tithing to the local church. So, that's kind of what the Bible says. I have friends who say, as long as you're giving it to God's work, wherever. But you should do that. And if you would do that, if the Church of Jesus Christ in our country would do that, we'd have a lot of money. So we give to God first. And that requires faith. For your outline, if you're taking notes, it requires faith to give first. Because when you look at that number that you get in your paycheck and you realize there's more month than there is money, the general tendency of function is to say, I can't. But what happens if you consistently do, you end up in the situation where there's enough money for the month. There's not more month than money. Now, if you give last, it doesn't require faith. And that's what a lot of people do. They, at the end of the month, they look into their wallet and say, well, what do we got left? You know, they find it. Oh, well, here's a 10. I can give God a 10. Right? You've heard the old joke of the money get together and the $100 bills were going to Europe and they were going to fine restaurants. And when they asked the ones, what have you been doing? They said, oh, church. Some people thought it was funny. Not very many. Honor God with your wealth, the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be full to overflowing. If you give Him the first fruits, then He will respond by giving you more. So the spiritual application as we wrap this up. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, what does it say? The Lamb of God, read it with me, who takes away the sin of the world. So, who was Jesus? He was God's firstborn. God demonstrates for you that He functions by His own criteria. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Son, that they might be firstborn among many brothers. Firstborn. That's what God desired. We had this scripture verse last week on Easter. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. What's it say? While we were, what? Christ died for us. God gave to us first. And that's what He desires for us. So, your first commitment, and they did not do as we expected. But they gave of themselves first to the Lord and then in keeping with God's will. So what's it say they did? First, they gave themselves first to the Lord. That's the first thing you do, is you put Jesus first in your life. Then in your finances, you put Jesus first in your life. Here's my purpose statement and my conclusion. God gave His best for us when He sent Jesus. God desires we give our best to Him. Are you going to give your life and resources to something? Give them to something that lasts. Give them up. So, we're going to skip right on to the tithes and the giving. And this morning, as we do that, can I ask some volunteers? The only bad thing about children's church is all my young helpers are downstairs. We're going to give tithes and offerings. As you do that, I challenge you to begin to live your life as God says. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You give. Humbly this morning, we seek You first in our tithes and in our giving. You own it all. We're just returning to You what's all Yours. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.